Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. Today, we'll explore a case that exemplifies the need to defend academic freedom for those who question materialist Darwinism and how you can sign an online petition to help. Emory University has asked Dr. Ben Carson of Johns Hopkins University to be their commencement speaker. Dr. Carson is not everywhere a household name, but he should be. Just who is Dr. Ben Carson? I asked Discovery Institute Senior Fellow David Klinghoffer to explain.
He's an amazingly gifted pediatric neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins University. But beyond that, he, as a human being, is an amazing person. He came up from this incredibly impoverished background in Detroit. Mother didn't get past third grade and went on to Yale and University of Michigan Medical School. And turns out he's an amazing surgeon who has pioneered techniques of separating conjoined Siamese twins. You can see pictures of kids who were joined at the top of the head. He was able to separate and allow them to live. You know, previously, kids like that would have died. So both professionally and personally, he's got an amazing story. And there was even a TV movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. made about his life.
So why would the commencement speaking invitation of Dr. Carson, the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, prominent philanthropist, internationally acclaimed groundbreaking surgeon, give rise to a letter of warning in the Emory Wheel, Emory University's student-run newspaper, signed by four faculty from the Emory Biology Department and about 500 others in the broader Emory University community, including additional faculty, students, and graduate students, that warns listeners to be wary during the doctor's commencement address? Why? At one time, Dr. Carson expressed his view that he was not impressed with the evidence for Darwinian theory and explained why a materialist philosophy is at odds with the idea of free will and makes it tough to offer a coherent account of moral principles. I asked David Klinghoffer about why he thought these faculty members felt compelled to warn listeners about Dr. Carson's views, how this protest might affect other academics who questioned materialistic Darwinian theory, and how people can have an impact speaking up for academic freedom.
There was no indication, and he said explicitly he wasn't going to speak about evolution. And evolution is not a big part of his medical practice or his teaching or anything like that. He once gave a casual interview in 2004 to a publication associated with his Christian denomination. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, in which he expressed some doubts about Darwinian theory and also said that materialism, which is a key part of Darwinism, makes it very difficult to believe in free will, which in turn undercuts any kind of rationale you could give for moral principles. And so the four professors who drafted that letter in protest against him and then had 500 of their students and colleagues sign it make him sound like someone who completely denies evolution, which he doesn't. And more to the point, make it sound like he was saying that anyone who believes in evolution is, by definition, morally defective, which he didn't say, and which would be a very stupid thing to say. And so they made him appear to be a fool. And that's a heck of a way to make a commencement speaker feel welcome and honored.
But it's interesting, you know, isn't it, that what they've done is they've made it so that if you point out or question the materialist impact on human morality and ethics, you are morally defective.
Well, they didn't say that, but they made him sound like a fool, as if he were saying that any evolutionist is a moral reprobate, which he didn't say. You know, it's fine for professors to disagree with him, but to dig up this one interview he gave that's got nothing to do with the speech he's going to give and distort the message is really reprehensible. But unfortunately, that's one of the tools in the tool bag of Darwin advocates who not only oppose ideas that are different from theirs, but distort the ideas of people who hold those ideas.
Let me just share the quote of Dr. Carson that was in the Adventist Review. Quote, "Ultimately, if you accept the evolutionary theory, you dismiss ethics. You don't have to abide by a set of moral codes. You determine your own conscience based on your own desires," unquote. What did they find so dangerous about that?
Well, that he was denying evolutionary orthodoxy. And I don't think it's really about his ideas or about his views on evolution. It's really about enforcing a rigid dogma. And it's really not even about Ben Carson, and that's not my concern about it because he's a star. He's well established. They can't hurt him. They can make him feel unwelcome, but you know, he gives commencement speeches all the time, and he's not suffering. What concerns me about their letter, which again distorts his views and tries to shame him, is the impact that it has on younger scholars and people who are not stars, who can be intimidated. They really don't have any power to intimidate or scare Ben Carson, but vulnerable scientists and vulnerable scholars who are not stars, as he is, really are subject to intimidation. And the main point of this whole story is that this is another example of how the fiction of a consensus on Darwinian theory is maintained through bullying and distortion and lies.
So this letter, it doesn't call for him to be revoked as a speaker. It doesn't call for him not to get the honorary degree, but it does create this kind of intimidation mindset that will spill over into people who are not as established as Dr. Carson.
And beyond that, the silence of the university is also disturbing. They chose to invite him. He didn't invite himself. They're giving him an honorary degree. What the university should have done, but to my knowledge has not done, is say, you know what, he's got a right to have a dissenting view on a scientific issue, and we welcome and honor him. They have not said that. The university spokesman was interviewed by Inside Higher Ed, which is an online publication, and basically supported the professors and said, our scholars in life sciences, so this is their position. And instead of affirming Carson, the spokesman affirmed the professors. So the message that that sends to younger up-and-coming scientists is that if you challenge the orthodoxy, the university will not support you, will only support you if you take the company line.
So how do we respond to that? What can we do to make sure that, people feel empowered, that the university can perhaps get a backbone and defend Dr. Carson, and that it won't happen again?
What people can do is go to evolutionnews.org and sign a petition, which has almost 1,000 signatories already, and we'd like to get thousands. We really need to. Asking the university not to punish the professors who spoke out at all, but simply to affirm that Dr. Carson is welcome and honored and is entitled to hold a dissenting view on evolutionary theory. And it's a great opportunity because often there are these stories that come out about scientists who are suppressed and expelled, and there's really nothing that we can do about it. You know, we can publicize it, we can protest it, we can write about it, but we can't actually get anyone to do anything. Here's a case where the commencement speech is this coming Monday. In the next few days, we have the opportunity to exert some correct and righteous pressure on the university to get them to say the right thing. And I think we have a decent chance of doing that if we get enough signatures.
Yeah, if you can't do it for a man who has achieved the level of success and advancement in his field that Dr. Carson has as a neurosurgeon, you're never going to be able to do it for the struggling academic who's never going to get this kind of attention.
Although we are doing it for the struggle. I mean,
that's right. But
I mean, Carson is the case in point.
Right.
But we are doing it for the people who are afraid. He's not afraid. He doesn't have to be afraid. We're doing this for the people in science who are afraid.
Right. That's what makes this so important right now, is to use this as a tool to empower the others who would not have this kind of attention.
And to give them some strength, yeah.
David Klinghoffer has also elaborated on how scientists are routinely intimidated and silenced by advocates of Darwinian orthodoxy in a new column at redstate.com. You'll find it by clicking the link at evolutionnews.org. Klinghoffer warns that the tactics of the Emory professors are how Darwinists maintain the fiction that the scientific community has reached a freely determined consensus in favor of Darwinian evolution and against intelligent design. The consensus is maintained by intimidation, by bullying. He warns it's a farce, but for vulnerable people in academic life, a scary farce. Again, the link to Klinghoffer's Red State column is at evolutionnews.org. Loan your voice to the cause of academic freedom and urge Emory University to stand up to the bullies. Sign the petition in support of Dr. Ben Carson. Just go to evolutionnews.org for the link. And be sure to share the link with friends. This concludes this edition of ID the Future. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support the efforts of the Center for Science and Culture, please go to idthefuture.com and click the donate button. This podcast is copyright 2012, the Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.